Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him. He loves us. His love is ever growing towards us. He always considers us in all that He do. As the Lord revealed things that He's doing and how, you know, things He gave me to do in ministry assignments, I monitor things. You know, I monitor the Holy Spirit. I watch Him. I watch the wisdom that He gives. Now, I know what I know. And I know the things that He taught me. And as I'm ministering, He calls me to say things way beyond my intelligence, way beyond what and that's continually happening. And I'm like, that's because of He's ministering to others. When your anointing is active, God will see. That's why I tell people, do things in His strength. Don't do it in yours. All right, you can put a lot of pressure on yourself trying to handle holy things and manage it from your mind. You can't. It's beyond us. But we can receive God. If we receive God's word in our heart, the Holy Spirit will help us to relay it like He wants it relayed, because He loves His people. So I don't always know. I'm not an expert in everything that I teach, because sometimes the Holy Spirit calls me to say something. And that's how it works. That's why I say when people are anointed, they have God's ability to do what they're doing. Because, you know, I like to give the definition of the anointing that God gave me personally. Now, this is not necessarily a dictionary version of the word anointing. Men do the best they can, but the Lord Himself said, I said, Lord, what is your definition of the anointing? And He gave me His definition of the anointing. And if you do good research, you'll find it to be true. He said, it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So it's evident. Now, people did things that men can't do. Elijah outran the king's chariot. And he shut up the rain for so many years. I think it was 3.5 years. Or however long it was, I can't remember the years right now. But see, when you're anointed, sometimes the gift of faith will operate with you. And I asked him, "What is the gift of faith?" He said, "If you're in faith, you may have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and that's very small faith. But I've experienced this so many times." I asked the Lord to help me with something that, all I have is a concept, and I'm asking God to help me do it. As long as my faith is on, He'll give me the faith I need to finish it out. Or He'll give me knowledge step by step so I can finish it out. But sometimes the Lord will come to me with a prayer. He wants me to pray for something that's far beyond me. Now, and in that moment, I believe Him. I may just have enough faith to begin the prayer. But God will give me the faith I need to get the job done. See, the anointing gives you might and power and strength. Whatever you need. You know, you have to study the 7 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of knowledge and spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of might. You know, you may be wore slap out. You may not have any more strength, and the Lord can give you strength. He can give you faith. He can give you might. He can give you knowledge. He can give you counsel. All you have to do at that point is receive it and use it. Now, I was telling my cousin recently that the anointing is given to serve man. That's why He gives us the anointing, to serve man. And I like to make the put it this way, the anointing has, I used to work on heavy equipment when I worked at Bessemer, and heavy equipment can do what a man can't do by himself. There used to be a guy, he was real good on heavy equipment, and they called him heavy. He weighed about 95 pounds, well, maybe 120. He was a little bitty guy, but he could operate some heavy equipment. You ask him to dig a swimming pool with a shovel, it might take him months to do that, but he can get in that backhoe, and he'll have you a pool dug in no time. Because the equipment does the work. Now, one thing about, you know, I like to relate the heavy equipment to the anointing. You know, Samson would have been like a tank. Then, you know, you got people that can move heavy loads. You got dump truck that can carry 300 yards of dirt. All kind of heavy equipment. Well, the anointing does, it breaks yokes. It does things that we can't normally do. People think that some preachers know all that business. Because when you're under the anointing preaching, and somebody comes to church, and you're speaking precisely what they need. I love it. You know, we had a guest minister there yesterday, Bigley, and my friend came. He said, I come to the church, and then somebody I don't even know is telling me what I need to do. So you're right, the Holy Spirit. When you're linked to the Holy Spirit, he knows you personally. And he knows how to get us to say what people need. And he did a perfect job. I love it. I love the work of God. I love God's people. We're capable of so much. You don't have to know everything. You just have to. The only way you're going to receive from him is to love him. And if you can do that, you can do anything. If you can love God, you're capable of much more than you realize. Because you'll receive the word, you'll reject Satan, you'll receive the anointing. You won't get caught up in Satan's mischief. You'll see it for what it is. The love of God does all that for you. And you have abilities you don't know. God will cause you to pray for something. And you'll get the job done. Now, when the Lord come to me and ask me to pray for a situation, I do it immediately. I don't think about it. I do it immediately. Not out of fear. Not out of... there's no concept of failure when he does that. There's no concept of failure when he have me to pray for something that's beyond me. I know he's with me. That's why I say I would do all this in his heart. When I reach for a wrench and pick it up, my hand don't argue with my mind. You know, I just get the wrench. Well, when God give me something to do, I become an extension of his hand. I become an extension of him. And I operate in him. That's how it's supposed to be. So as we cherish what God is doing, if we cherish his love, it causes us to see more than we would normally see. Now, when I minister, I go back and listen to it. And when God calls me to say something that's far beyond my years, I don't just let it go. I ask him questions. Because some things he helped me master, you know, like if you're taking karate, you start off a white belt, then, you know, you become, you know, you go up the ranks, you get a black belt, eventually a red belt. So eventually, when God gave me information, I said, Lord, teach me about that. Teach me more about it. And he does it. See, the Holy Spirit within, he'll teach you. The Holy Spirit upon you, you have to pay attention to him. You can learn because he's teaching others through you. But you, whatever he says, you can receive it as your own. But when he's talking to others or it's causing you to say something that other people need, see, I was given a reference of heavy equipment. How, you know, when heavy would get in his machine, he had a key. He turned it on and the machine do what he want. Well, when people are hungry, the Holy Spirit, our anointing is activated by our yielding to God to serve mankind. So when I yield to the Lord and I put myself in a position to serve mankind, well, my anointing is active. And then when people are there and they hear and they want more, they activate my anointing, the anointing that God put on me to serve mankind. They're receiving. When people are receiving, they pull from your, they activate your anointing too, and it causes you to say things far beyond your years. And the only way I know to do that is to leave your anointing active and be and pay attention. And when I worked, I said, when I was working, I saw the needs of people in the accountants at work. I said, Lord, if there's anybody I can help that would receive from me, help me to minister to them as I can, as they receive it. And there's no need to be like ships in the night when you're anointed. And you're walking right past people that have needs. Now, there were times that he would use me to minister to people, and there were times he didn't. But nevertheless, when you're yielded and you're ready, you live on ready, and you're going to run it, you're going to be able to minister to people before they have tragedy. Now, I want to go over a few things that from last time, the last broadcast we did was aftermath. and it was after Balaam got through teaching Balak how to curse Israel. Israel failed. And we're going to go back and look at Numbers chapter 31. Now, this book of the Bible is very important. We need to know, there's so much we can learn from what happened. Now, before Moses sent the people to avenge Israel from the Midianites, first they had to repent. We covered that last time, how Eliezer threw that spear between the man and that lady Cosby, who helped cause Israel to sin. She was a princess of one of the Midian leaders, or kings, I guess. But anyway, he threw it, and when he threw that spear and killed them both, it stayed the Lord's hand because somebody took authority over what the enemy was doing. See, with Satan, you only need 11 to get started, and it'll grow out of control real quick. You know, a lot of great men of God, they would say, that's ignorance gone to seed. That's because they understood how weeds work. If you have a ragweed in your yard and don't pull it up and you cut grass, you're going to spread those seeds. If it go to seed, you're going to spread them. And you're going to have a dozen ragweeds. And they're hard to kill. You have to uproot it. And if you keep your grass cut, it won't go to seed and keep spreading. Now, they lay flat on the ground under the grass, and you can't see it good until that little head pops up with the yellow seeds on it. So if it goes to seed, it can ruin your yard. And you'll have to take a shovel and go and dig it up, uproot it, or put poison down. You'll have brown spots all over your yard, fooling with a ragweed if you let it get out of hand. And years ago, I understood what it meant to let something go to seed because I was working a lot and I would get home too late to cut grass. And I had a raggedy lawnmower and I usually had to fix it before I cut grass. And so I eventually bought a new lawnmower and that solved that problem. But if I get home too late, the grass needs cutting, and then it rains. Now, in 2 days, they went to seed. One time I burned my yard up. I just killed it. I round up my whole yard, just killed all of it. And then I put some dirt down and planted new grass, because the whole yard basically went to seed, and it was hard to deal with. So when Levin gets started, just like with the Moabite women, that was a serious blow to Israel. But before they went to war and avenged, they had to get things right with God. They had to become pure again. The men that did this, they were judged. They died. Judgment had to happen first. Then Moses went to war. That was one of the last things that Moses did before he went on to be with the Lord. So this is why I'm saying this. It still holds true today. You cannot go out and win a battle against Satan and the world unless you're right with God on the inside. And you have to pay attention as I study these scriptures. Everything that the Lord did, and just because it's Old Testament, don't mean it's not relevant. Remember something. The law, Jesus helped us to fulfill. Jesus came to fulfill the law. We're washed in his blood. The law is still relevant, but the law is to the lawless. You've been made righteous. And being made righteous, you have to live a righteous life. And you have the ability now to fulfill the law yourself through Christ. But if you break the law, now you're lawless. But instead of, let's say a man invites people over and he has 100, he has people come over that he know and love. Let's say people from the church. Okay. Everybody from the church, they came, they had a gathering, maybe 20 people. And then he stand up in the middle of the room and say, look, don't steal my silverware. Don't take any pictures off the wall. Now, that will insult everybody because now he's saying, you're a bunch of thieves. So when God first brought them out of Egypt, he didn't give them 10 commandments. He waited till they acted a complete idiot. They needed a law because they were lawless. They became law. They still had a love for Egypt down in their heart somewhere. They still had that Egyptian mindset. And they looked at the Lord as if he was Pharaoh. And they didn't, instead of getting to know the Lord for himself, see, Pharaoh was the authority figure that they looked to. Then Moses came and they looked to Moses. But they saw Moses taking orders from God. So they assumed, because they didn't know the Lord, that he was like Pharaoh. And people do that today. The parents, they set the pace of how you see God. And that'll stay in place until you study the word for yourself. Whoever raised you, whoever the adults around you in your young years, they shape the way you respond to God. The Lord taught me that. But when you study the word of God, you begin to see him for who he is. And there's a lot of little things that we would overlook. And that's what we're going to cover now. Now, in order for your anointing to work, it's the same thing. Because you go into battle. When you're going out and taking people out of the world, the kingdom of the world, you're going, the violent take them by force. You become violent. You take them by force. Not by tactical warfare, but spiritual warfare. Satan, you have to, when I minister to people, I have to cut off all interference. I don't wait till it's time for me to talk to them. If I know I'm going to talk to someone, I tell Satan, you can't interfere. Just like with these broadcasts, Satan, you can't interfere. You can't hinder people from hearing the word that want to hear the word. And I pray to God to send people to the website. Protocol, that's how you do. But I have to live a clean life first, because if you win the war within, the war without is very easily won. I always say it's a cakewalk. What's more simpler than a cakewalk? Nevertheless, Numbers 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterwards shall thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe, 1,000 throughout all tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. See, God is a God of justice. And you don't pick a fight with God if he don't fight. Now, he told us to turn the other cheek, lay our life down, and don't fight for pride, but fight the good fight, fight the spiritual war for people's souls. We're not, just because we don't respond violently to people that's violent to us, we're here to represent Jesus. That's why he told us to turn the other cheek. If one man asks for a coat, give him two. You know, that's why he did that. It's a protocol. We're not here to get justice for ourselves. We're here to win souls and bear fruit. We win souls by bearing fruit. We give people a representative. We let our lights, the way we win souls, we live according to God's word. We're the salt of the earth. We live an example. We're the light of the world. We bear fruit. And we minister to, we don't make people get saved. We don't bear branches. We bear fruit. And God, you know, if they receive the word, they'll become God's people. And then they'll bear fruit. Nevertheless, you say, I'm the vine, you're the branch. We don't bear branches, we bear fruit. And then people who want to get in on it, they get in on it. And we can stop Satan at our will. You know, Satan is not hard to defeat. Jesus gave us perfect authority over him. And when we walk in the love of God, you're going to find yourself winning and not losing. So, Moses was giving them what to do. Verse 4, he said, of every tribe, 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. So they're going, and you don't take, you know, the people they were fighting, well, they were, there was probably a multiplied number against them, but God was with them. Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war, with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. Spiritual weapons. They represent spiritual weapons. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Ebi and Recham, Zer and Hur and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Justice. You know, when Balaam left that Mount Peor, hanging around bad company, if you consider how leaven works, leaven causes people to change. Now, this man was called a prophet before all this. But in the book of Joshua, 13-22, it called him a soothsayer. Now, my pastor pointed that out to me. And when he said that, you know, I thought about how leaven works. It's good to have a good pastor, I tell you what. But, you know, the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's how it works. And we're stronger as we work together. That's just a little aside. We're stronger when we receive from each other and we work together. We're a body, you know. If I pick up a wrench with my left hand, my right hand don't get jealous. It gets just glad that the job is being done. You know, that's how it is in the body of Christ. Yes, we're like him. And I thank God for all people, all men and women of God that love him. And people, it's common for people to see things that you may overlook. I probably read over that scripture and never caught on to it. But I thank God for my pastor who pointed it out, because That's a very important fact. A man that started out, when he started desiring the money, you know, now Jesus pointed out, or John pointed out the fact that he loved the wages of sin. Well, that was his living. So he ended up a soothsayer. Now, I don't know how long it took for him to become a soothsayer, but when he left, he was praising God and blessing Israel. Joshua also pointed that out, that he was, you know, he was sent to curse them, but he blessed them. God used him to bless them. But being around wickedness, it can get you leavened, and it'll turn you from being a prophet to a witch, to a soothsayer. Now watch. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captive, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods. And watch what happens. And they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp of the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers. He was angry with them. He was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over the thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, "Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, on Mount Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him." So all the boys would destroy. The concepts that they had received were gone when they were destroyed. Justice. But all the women, children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. All the women that have not known a man by lying with him, all the virgin daughters, they kept. God is merciful. Justice. See, when God do something, it's well evaluated. All it we're looking at, people were dying, but God was after the leaven that was in their heart, because they would have caused all this to proceed even worse than it was before. Then he said, "And do ye abide without the camp 7 days. Whosoever hath killed any person, and whatsoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and purify all your clothes, raiment, and all that is made of skins, and all the work of goat's hair, and all things made of wood." And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses." Now this is very important also. The protocols of God is very important. We don't think about the things, God gave, he did something about everything. When people work for something, their life is attached to what they work for. It's just like when you tithe, it took you a portion of your life to work and sweat and earn the money. And then when you tithe, you're giving that to God, and God blesses you. And when you give offerings, he blesses you, because that's your time. It took your time and might and energy and wisdom to do this. And you give God a portion, and he will bless the rest of what you have and bless you to do all this again. Well, when people are doing evil, evil is attached to what they do. What they do and what they own, you know, this is why they had to purify. Oh, if this wasn't true, they wouldn't have had to purify. He said, purify your clothes and all that's made of skins and all the work of the goat's hair. This is something the modern mind don't think about. And many times people, you know, when I do God's work, I don't want to receive money from anybody that's got strings attached, that's trying to manipulate. You know, I've heard of so many wonderful pastors. Somebody would, you know, pastor, they put a lot of money in the church, but then they start saying, we don't want to hear about all that sin. You know, we want to overlook that. And then they putting big money in it. You know, I say, look, if I was that pastor, I would yield to the Lord, but I would let them have it. I said, you need to not put any money in this church. You need to go to that altar over there and get your heart right. Then put money in the church, if you know, or leave, or whatever you want. But you don't control what God, you know, the anointing. This is for God's people. And if you don't want to hear God's word, that's your problem. But don't put money in the church till you go in it, go to the Lord in prayer and get your heart right. This is why. Because, you know, the enemy will use anything. If you know, when